My next guest is on the line. He is Professor Eyal Zisser. He's from Tel Aviv University. He's the Vice Rector and a lecturer at the Moshe Dayan Center for Middle Eastern Studies and Middle Eastern History. Professor Zisser, thank you for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Great to be with you.
So yesterday was quite a historic day by any accounts. I think some red lines were maybe crossed, some new geopolitical realities taking place in the Middle East. Let's talk to the one that hasn't been spoken about so much, Israel's strike on a Turkish warehouse in Syria. I'm shocked that ever happened. After the 12-day war against Iran, we know that Turkey has tried to step into the vacuum, and Erdogan has been saying some quite bellicose-type comments to Israel, and yet Israel went ahead and struck Turkish assets anyway. What's going on strategically?
Yeah, well, first of all, nothing was confirmed, and unlike, for example, the airstrike in Qatar, Doha, Israel haven't taken any responsibility for what happened in Syria. Neither it was blamed by Turkey for attacking Turkish asset. Having said so, I mean, the Israeli policy was quite clear. It will not allow Turkey to establish itself in Syria. And whenever he discovered that the Turks transfer advanced weaponry system to the Syrians for local Syrian use, or maybe the Turks want to use it in the future, Israel will not allow it. This has been said many times before. There were some previous incidents where Israel attacked places where the Turks were supposed to come and establish some presence there. So it's an ongoing hidden, uncovered struggle between Israel and Syria and Turkey. Let's see where it will lead us.
Professor Zisser, what I'm not quite understanding is why this is happening on the military battlefield. I'm not understanding why, if Turkey is a member of NATO, and given Israel's relationships with NATO countries and the United States in particular, there isn't a diplomatic solution to this issue.
Well, also in the case of Qatar, Qatar is a close ally of the United States, and the United States has the biggest military base in the Middle East. And still, we know Qatar allow itself to do this or to do that. So this is on the one hand. On the other hand, yes, there were negotiations held in Azerbaijan with support and help by the President Aliyev of Azerbaijan, who is very friendly with Israel and has good relations with Turkey. So there were negotiations going on, but they have their limits. And now that there is no real contacts, open channels between Ankara and Israel, Ankara has its own policy, Israel has its own policy. I mean, after all, President Trump told to Erdogan, Syria is yours. So if President Trump told Erdogan, Syria is yours, and you should support Ashara, who is a good guy, I guess Turkey feels that, it does something with an American approval, and that's create some of the problems, I guess.
In a Turkish fantasy world, what is it that they want?
Well, fantasy, well, it's to reestablish the Ottoman Empire, but in a more real realistic terms, spread their influence and hegemony over the Middle East. I mean, okay, so we cannot bring back the Ottoman Empire. Erdogan cannot become a sultan, and the capital is Ankara, not Istanbul. But to have influence all over, well, That's something I think Turkey wanted, always wanted, always. I mean, since Erdogan came to power, and there were times in the past that it seemed that it worked. I mean, when the Muslim Brother took over in Egypt, where the Muslim Brother almost took over in Syria, there was this sense that, well, he's doing well. But, well, Egypt, Hamas, it didn't work well at the end of the story, and still they are trying.
What I also find absolutely fascinating is where Saudi Arabia fits into this whole picture, because yesterday it broke its silence and strongly condemned the strike as a violation of international law and Syrian sovereignty. How significant is it that they said that publicly? And just a question to you also related to Saudi Arabia. I mean, I was just looking at the map yesterday, looking at Israel struck Doha, and I was thinking there's no way to do it other than to fly over Saudi territory.
So over Iraq, Syria and Iraq, maybe. I don't, yes, well, they say one thing, they think another thing. Now, as for Syria, they want to be the actor who is in charge. They want to be the strong man in Syria. So they have some sort of competition with Turkey, but of course they need to say that, well, we are with the Syrians, and we condemn everything that Israel is doing is to be condemned. Nothing surprise, but between the lines, it's interesting to find out what they really think. I'm sure they were very happy to learn that Israel strike Hamas headquarters in Doha. They don't like Hamas, they don't like the Qataris. So,
Oh, you live in a
but they
very
had to say,
complicated part of the world. You've got to continually keep reinterpreting what it is that people really think as opposed to what it is they really say. And I don't know how you expect it to operate in those kind of situations. Let's talk international law for a moment. Given these condemnations, what's the legality of a strike like the one Israel did yesterday under international law? Is it self-defense?
Well,
Is it problematic? What's the story?
there was a precedent. I mean, America strike in Pakistan. Pakistan is an ally of the United States. They found out that Osama bin Laden was hiding somewhere in Pakistan, and they carry out an attack. Okay, so if you think that this man or that target is a source of threat for you, it's of course you are supposed to defend yourself, isn't it? I mean, but nobody is to be trusted when we speak about international law. It's being influenced by local politics, by international politics. So, of course, people will condemn Israel, but as I see it, I mean, Hamas leaders were responsible for the terrible massacre of October 7, and probably they plan other massacres as well. So they are becoming a legitimate target.
I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. What I do wonder about is the timing of the attack. I was watching Israeli Channel 12 news last night, and a commentator was saying this should have happened 2 years ago or after the release of the hostages. And I thought that was an interesting take on it. What are your views as to the timing of the operations?
There are two issues to be. First of all, opportunity. I mean, it's one thing to say you want to eliminate them, but I mean, if you're going to launch an attack against Iran, maybe it's not the right time to do it. Maybe you should wait till you finish with Iran. Maybe if you don't have enough information where they are, you need to wait and see that there is enough information. And of course, when it comes to governments, it's always the local politics. I mean, it's unavoidable that leaders, politicians, take such consideration also into the integrate them into their process of decision making.
So So is Israel in a safer place today than it was yesterday? What's your opinion as to
It's in a challenging place, I think. Okay, it has been done. I don't think that it will change much. I mean, it's not changing dramatically the situation vis-a-vis Turkey, vis-a-vis Iran, vis-a-vis Hamas. Okay, so it's but another dimension that should be added, or another factor, but I don't think it changed dramatically the map of the Middle East. Most actors are at the same place where they were before.
before. Interesting. Yeah, I did see a comment yesterday stating that this is 3D dimensional chess, and I just thought that's exactly right. It's just too difficult to get your head around what the consequences of yesterday's attacks were. Go figure. It could be good, could be bad. Prof, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.